4/20. That is the day we are recording. And it's a holiday to some people, you know,
yes,
in some ways, those that take upon the good green of the earth and celebrate
the good green
and, you know, good for them. That's,
yeah,
you know, if that's what they want to do.
Cheech, Chappelle.
Hey, man, can't say I can't say Kevin Smith no more. He stopped.
He did.
Yes, he's like 11 or 12 weeks drug-free. He talks about it on his recent episodes of his podcast. And I was like, that's cool, I guess. Hopefully he still makes funny movies.
Yeah, I know, right?
Like, see, one of those guys that works better stoned.
It's like, you know, whenever he's been doing it for a while, hasn't he?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's been a 420 guy for many, many years.
Yeah. And I was listening to him explain why he didn't, and it's really like whenever you eat it's the way he roundabout explained it was that it's like whenever you go for a candy bar for something that you really like and it's great, and he's like, that was kind of like his candy bar, and then he'd go to it more, and he's like, eventually it wasn't as satisfying to him, and he just was like, no, I'm just not going to do it, I guess.
Yeah.
Just stop like overnight.
You know,
I mean, and I was like, okay, well, I guess, you know.
I guess it's kind of like, you know, with sex, man, eventually you want to like flip her over the other way just to try something different. Otherwise, yeah,
exactly.
The same thing every,
you
know.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's an analogy or not. And,
yeah, I think some people may understand.
You know, try to. Not everyone does the 420, so you have to explain this in some ways that they might understand. So, you know,
yes.
And, sometimes you flip her over and slap her in the butt and do a little crooked thing there.
Crooked, yeah.
And, but yes, welcome to the Rebel Radio podcast as we try to unrail the show within the first couple of minutes.
And yes.
How you doing, Matt? Good.
Good. Good, man. I mean, speaking about Kevin Smith, and you gave me a little tip that Clerks 3 had finally made it on Stars, on the Stars app, and I watched it.
And well, let's get to that in a minute. Let's get to that in a minute. You're pulling a Frank and jumping the gun a little bit, because I do have to, now that we are a part of the Comicpalooza podcast program again for like the gazillionth year. We do have to do our little bit of promotion bit before we get into what we watched this week. And, so yes, we will be at Comicpalooza Memorial Day weekend, at the George R. Brown Convention Center here in Houston, Texas. And, we'll be doing a live podcast from the show, a little bit different format than we do in our regular show. We kind of have a little bit, just cause our format works differently, cause we only have 45 minutes of Comicpalooza.
Yeah.
And, so we'll be there, me and Matt, I don't know if, even though Long is on the guest list, if he wants to join us, I don't know if he will, since he hasn't been recording with us. And, you know, he sits at home and twiddles his balls and does whatever Long does.
Yeah. Watches Godzilla movies.
Yes. Yeah. He watches
Godzilla. And then he puts on his Godzilla mask and he knocks over his Transformers.
I mean, it's strange because I could actually see Long probably doing that. And then, he would completely deny it in the straight face that Long gets. And like, I don't do that shit.
Man, I don't
what's
do
wrong
that.
With you guys?
Yeah.
And then behind our backs, he's circling like, this motherfuckers know.
Yeah, damn it. How do they know? Yeah. Are they watching my ass, man?
That's right. We love you, Long. And, but yeah, so we will be back at Comicpalooza. But yes, Clerks 3, man, I'm glad you finally got around to watch it. It's not what you expected, was it?
It was not. I can't believe that he went like real sentimental, like, and Rosario Dawson's character, I can't believe how they, made that work. And she was even, I looked it up. She was even surprised that Kevin Smith, you know, well, I guess we can talk about it now. It's a 2022 movie.
It's been out for a while. Well, and the thing is, she was so busy filming Star Wars, other things, that she showed up just to film for a couple of days because she promised it to Kevin. And so at first she wasn't even going to be in the movie, and he was like, no, I really want you. I need you in the movie. So he wrote the small part for her, and she flew in to do her part and then flew back out. And, so he was able to get her the film. So, yeah. So it was a complete surprise to me too when I watched it.
Yeah. I mean, I knew that, you know, Randall, you know, was basically, you know, the embodiment of Kevin Smith's
ordeal
that he went, you know, and he went through his heart attack. But, you know, I did a double take. I had to rewind it and say, I was like, is that Rosario Dawson's face on the register that she died? Yeah. And I was like, 06. I was like, wait, did she die like right after Clerks 2 in the movie?
Shortly after, yeah.
And so, you know, I looked it up and sure enough, yeah, that's when Clerks 2 was. And they reveal that she died with the unborn child in a drunk driving car accident. Drunk driver hit her. And then, you know, having Dante die at the end.
Mm-hmm.
That was crazy.
Yeah.
It made sense.
Right.
The
movie's not all sad. It's got its funny moments. It's definitely about friends and realizing what life means to you. I think Kevin did a good job. The first time I watched it, I've watched it two times now since it came out. It's not what you expect. And you're like, whoa. And the second time I watched it, I actually liked it a lot more. Mm-hmm. Because I was able to sit back and take in the dramatic moments and the comedy moments. And I actually probably, I'm man enough to admit, the first time I watched it, I didn't cry. The second time I did cry a little bit because it hit me harder the second time because I knew what was coming and I was more immersed in the film the second time because I wasn't picking it apart or watching such a different Kevin Smith film than usually. And it's definitely, I think it's way better than maybe critics said it was. You know, it's maybe it's not as funny as Clerks or Clerks 2, but it's a really good film.
It is. It's a dramedy.
Mm-hmm.
It's a dramedy. And, you know, you've got, you know, two ways that it could have gone with Kevin. You know, you've got how things went with Randall and you've got, you know, the alternate reality of what happens whenever you have a heart attack with Dante. And, you know, Randall, you know, he fails to grasp, you know, the whole movie, he fails to grasp a lot of things. And one of the things he fails to grasp is how bad a heart attack is.
Right.
And, you know, he thinks just because he had a, you know, run of the mill, you know, some, you know, good luck with it, that Dante, it's no big deal with him. And it ends up, you know, being a big deal.
Yeah.
And I like that they showed the first film.
Right.
Yeah.
And then, no, it's really well done. And Brian O'Halloran, who plays Dante, was excellent in the movie. He really was. And the Elias stuff was hilarious.
Yes.
The first time I watched it, I didn't like the Elias stuff. I was like, man, this is really kind of annoying. And the second time I'm like, okay, I get this. That's really funny how he keeps changing outfits and going through different phases. And he's like, hail Satan.
Yeah. He's like, everything I've been told is a lie.
Yeah.
And he takes off his pants and stuff. I'm like, what are you doing, dude?
Yeah. It's really funny. But no, it's streaming now in Stars for people that haven't seen Clerks 3 yet. And a good flick, man. Definitely worth checking out. I know we've got some get to Mandalorian in a minute, but I checked out the movie that you did last week, 65. With Adam Driver. And my first thought was like, it's a lot of it's very dark.
Yeah.
I'm like, and I even have my contacts in. I'm like, wait, what's going on in some parts of it? But man, you know, that movie, it doesn't work without Adam Driver. He elevates the movie.
Yes.
Two, it's one of those sci-fi films that is a cool as fuck idea with tons of potential, but the movie holds back from ever reaching that potential, unfortunately.
Yes.
It decides to play it low key instead of, this could have been a balls to the walls, all out crazy ass science fiction action film. And it never becomes that. It feels like it's fixing to become that at certain times in the movie, but it never does. It continues to stay low key. It's not bad. It's not bad low key. It's very entertaining for an hour and a half. But it also is kind of forgettable, unfortunately, because it never reaches that potential that it could have reached. And it's such a shame because I'm watching it and I'm like, basically Adam Driver is a humanoid alien from another world. And I'm just gonna spoil the fuck out of this film because I don't think it's one of those films that people are like so hyped to see about. He's basically a humanoid alien from another planet that has to travel in his job and hopefully he can find a cure for his daughter who is sick. And but something goes wrong in his spaceship and he ends up on Earth, but in our past. So he's an alien from 65 million years ago from another planet that ends up on our planet. And he witnesses the Big Bang and the destruction of the dinosaurs at the end of the film. And he fights some dinosaurs throughout the movie, which are more, a couple of the dinosaurs are more alienish. They're not quite like the ones we see in Jurassic Park movies, you know, which was interesting take on some of them. But then there are some pretty typical dinosaurs like Velociraptors and T-Rex and stuff.
T-Rex, yeah.
And, it's a really cool concept. And he does, he finds a little, he's traveling with some other people. Most of them all die, but he does find a young girl that he befriends and kind of a parallel story to his daughter's story, because he does get information through long distance holograms mail that his daughter did pass away while he was gone on his journey. So he kind of takes on this girl as like a surrogate daughter throughout the film. And they do escape at the end, and he witnesses a Big Bang, and he gets word that that his people did find him. So you assume he makes it to safety, and that's kind of how the movie ends. So entertaining, I think, is a good way to put it. It just feels like it could have reached bigger heights, you know, than it did.
I wish it would have taken more time to really strengthen the relationships that Adam Driver has in his little world. You know, I felt like it was lacking a little bit more emotional connection with these characters, to try and, you know, make those, you know, emotional moments pop in the film. You know, whenever you find out his daughter dies, you're sad, but you're not like,
because it immediately jumps to an action scene.
Yeah. And I felt like he didn't have a whole lot of time to really build that connection with his daughter to the audience. But you know that, and of course what I told you, the other day, that, you know, 65 million years ago on Earth could have been, you know, like a Planet of the Apes caliber reveal. I felt like it missed the boat on that big time too, but you're right. It could have been, you know, if they had more dinosaur attacks, maybe a few more gadgets other than his,
laser gun.
Phased plasma rifle or whatever it is. Halo gun, Destiny gun, you know, could have been a lot cooler. They definitely missed an opportunity,
but
it went up against some tough movies too.
It was not released at the best time, but you know, if you're bored and want to watch it, I mean, I don't know if I'd pay $20 to rent it, but I'm sure it'll hit Paramount Plus pretty soon. I think it's a Paramount film, so
definitely.
But let's dive full into I mean, that's really all I watched this week. And
I went to the theater this week. They had a 20th anniversary Return of the King, and it kind of threw me off a little bit, because at the beginning they have Elijah Wood and he's talking and he's like, and here is a live action reading of a Lord of the Rings play. And it's, I guess they had it because the guy who played the voice of Sauron does LARPing, I guess. And so these people are sitting at the table and they have, like, you know, of course, like they're names. It's like a dungeon master reading what's happening in a game. And he's like walking through the forest, and on the way to the Prancing Pony, watch out, there are orcs. And then they have like a little play where they fight the orcs. And I was like, this is weird. Just get to the movie. But it was fun watching it. Yeah. Again, you know, on the big screen. Took two of the kids. They were good throughout the film. But yeah, did that.
Cool, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, so man, we finally got to the end of season 3 of The Mandalorian this week. And you know, the season has been a bit, I will admit, it's been a bit off compared to season 1 and 2, but I still enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But a lot of that was definitely forgiven in these last two episodes. We talked about last week's episode last week, but so we're going to focus on the finale. But, you know, first off, whenever you think you're going to doubt Dave Filoni or Jon Favreau, I think at this point, stop fucking doing that.
Yep.
Because these guys know what Star Wars is. I mean, this was Star Wars, this episode. I mean, action, heroism, humor, great villain, great action sequences, great space battle sequence. I mean, you know, people said, oh, it's only 40-minute finale, but goddamn, I thought it felt epic for 40 minutes. I thought
it was did.
It was fantastic.
Felt longer, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, as we witness the Mandalorians trying to save their planet, and Din escapes from after being captured at the end of last week's episode, he escapes and he finds himself face to face with Moff Gideon in his super suit, Mandalorian suit, and they go toe to toe in a fight. And Grogu's right there by his side as Grogu comes to Din's aid as well. And they give you a couple moments where you think, man, they're not going to dare hurt baby Grogu. But no, he comes through kicking his own ass. I mean, and of course, Gideon in fashion doesn't quite want to fight his own fight as he sends the Praetorian guards after Din as well. But they end up kind of fighting against Grogu, who does pretty damn well on his own.
Yeah, he does. He holds him off pretty good.
And meanwhile, all this is going on. Bo-Katan and all the Mandalorians are fighting the Mandalorian Dark Troopers that Gideon has created. And meanwhile, trying to survive up in space with a TIE fighter or the TIE interceptors attacking the Mandalorian mothership, mm-hmm. which I thought was genius how Casa tells them all to jump into the side ships and get off the main ship and use it as a distraction. It all happens so quickly, but that just shows you the wit and how quick that Mandalores were in their battle techniques.
You know what I was hoping to see? And okay, so Grogu got a piece of armor that he wears underneath, piece of Beskar armor that he wears underneath that robe of his.
Right.
I was hoping for, I know we just mentioned Lord of the Rings. I was hoping for like one of those fellowship moments where, you know, kind of like when Frodo, he's wearing the Mithril, but no one knows it. And he gets stabbed by that spear from the cave troll. And everyone just goes ape shit and all out just takes out the troll. And then they rush to Frodo, find out he's actually okay because he had it under him. I was like, man, whenever that happened, I was like, and Grogu got that breastplate. I was like, what if he gets shot at some point? And they're like, holy shit. And they try and like, you know, you forget about it, you know, episodes later that he's got this little piece of Beskar underneath
him. Just because you went and watched Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, I know, right? That's, and I'm like, what if they did that? You know, that would have been such a cool twist that you think, oh no, did they kill off baby Yoda? And then, you know, Mando just goes ape shit, you know, does some crazy, you know, gunslinging shit. And then, you know, Grogu wakes up and they're like, how that shot would have skewed a wild boar.
Oh,
he's like, Beskar, bitch.
But then just as Din is starting to get the, or Moff almost gets the upper hand on Din, Bo-Katan drops in with the Darksaber and she challenges him to a fight. And they go head to head for a minute before Gideon actually destroys the Darksaber with a super suit. And then Akasa is coming down with the ship and he's going to crash into the base to take out all the Imperial base, and such a cool moment. And I thought Gideon would maybe have died by the hands of Bo or somebody, but he gets roasted in flames.
Yes.
You know, and we didn't talk about how Din destroys all his clones earlier. We do discover that Moff Gideon was making clones and they wanted Grogu to try to find the power of the Force.
Moff apparently watched the sixth day and he's like, you know, it would be cool if I had fucking clones like Arnold Schwarzenegger, but with a little bit of Master Yoda mixed in there. And he's like, no, you robbed me of having a clone that can use the Force.
Hey, how good is Giancarlo? Man, he's just such a good actor.
And man, when he put the helmet on and he had like that echoey, you know, villainous voice.
Dude, I want a fucking action figure of that with that suit. I definitely want one. If they make one, I'm definitely going to get
one. What if he survived, man? He's wearing Beskar.
Yeah, but man, you're talking spaceship jet fuel flames, man. I mean.
Well, we know of one bad guy that got roasted to bits. And he just got replaced with.
Well, see, that's my thing. He took his mask off and the flames engulfed him. He didn't have a mask on. So his head is roasted. I mean, you know, because
it'd be much cooler, I guess, to put Thrawn, I guess, in the next season.
Well, yeah, you got Thrawn coming.
Yeah.
Well, I think it also sets things up for Din to appear in Ahsoka. And we didn't even get to that. Once the fight ends and the Mandalores have taken back their planet, and we see the relighting of the Great Forge. We get to see Paz's son join the convert, mm-hmm. Which was nice after losing his father in the previous episode. And Din accepts the adoption of Grogu as his son so that he can be part of the Mandalorians as well. And but they're going to go off on their own missions for a while because he has to take Grogu on the journeys of what a foundling, or no longer a foundling, but what a Mandalore does.
Yes.
Whatever that is, which we'll find out. And he goes back to Navarro, and Chief Karga gives him a plot of land with a house. And we get to see them a little funny moment where Grogu's playing with the frogs and they're a little happy family. But before that, we see him talk to the New Republic, and basically Din's going to take on jobs for the New Republic, things that they can't do under the table, kind of some bounty hunting, facing off the Imperial remnants, which obviously sets up the possibility of him appearing in Ahsoka and going after Thrawn's remnants and people like that. So I thought that was pretty smart storytelling.
Yeah.
Because they haven't confirmed a season four yet, but Favreau says season four is written, so I'm pretty sure it's coming, eventually. It's all going to be leading into this Mandalorian movie in a couple of years. We know it's coming out, but overall, man, it's definitely hard to top Luke Skywalker and what he did in season two. But honestly, if you can step back and take Luke out of the picture a little bit, this finale was just as good as season two, if not more action packed in some ways. I mean, the Luke thing was freaking awesome. One of the greatest Star Wars moments of all time. Don't get me wrong. But as a whole episode, this episode was what Star Wars is. I mean, just it really is action adventure, like the old movies heroes that George designed them to be. And that's what I felt a lot about watching that episode. I enjoyed watching with my boys, and we were just oohing and aahing and excitement throughout the episode. And it was great, man. It's why I love fucking Star Wars.
I'd have to watch it again, man. I really feel like, I mean, there hasn't been a bad finale. I mean, and even with the Terminator 2 references in the ending of the first season finale, I still feel like number two is my favorite, the ending of season two. This one's probably a close second. It's a real strong finale. Some people are saying it's the best. Definitely make that case. Absolutely. Right. Like I said, I would give credit, or, you know, I'll give, you know, agreement to anyone that says, you know, even if they said the first season's ending was the best, because there was some good stuff in there too. But, you know, it's been a great series. Even though the season overall, I feel like the episodes were, you know, some of them were great. Others were just good. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the season as a whole, especially all the celebrity cameos. Most favorably, Christopher Lloyd. I really like seeing him. He's been doing so much stuff. I didn't realize he was in the Spirit Halloween movie.
I don't know. I gotta give that nod to Ahmed Best, man, coming back and saving Grogu. I mean, maybe he's not the flashy celebrity cameo, but man,
that's true.
So justice for Ahmed, man, after the way people did him for playing Jar Jar, you know?
That's true, man. Yeah, you got me there.
And, there were so many rumors on the internet about, is there a spy that sold them out? And then who is it? And then, you know, is the season going to end dark? And none of that happened. You know,
spy was simply the spy.
Yeah.
That was like right there in the front.
Right.
You know, maybe there was no deeper meaning to that title.
Right. And people just read into it.
I mean, and I've made that, you know, that statement before, you know, where we're looking at a picture in class, that graphic literature class, and we see the bear and, you know, people are like, oh, the bear represents this. The bear represents that. And someone's like, it's just a fucking bear. It's right there. What are you talking about? Yeah. The spy's right there. There is no deeper meaning.
but it was awesome, you know, and now we got to wait a bit to our next, we have the Visions animated series coming out in May, but we got to wait till August for Ahsoka. And, but I have Bad Batch season two to watch, and I highly recommend you should get into the Bad Batch, Matt, now that
I'm going to have to watch it again.
And Breaking Bad, so you can see how good Giancarlo is.
I saw a clip of him. You know, sometimes your phone listens to you. And I saw this episode where he runs a chicken place, and I guess people go there to do business at the chicken restaurant that he runs. And I saw a little clip of him.
I will not say too much.
Man, he is good.
You need to watch Breaking Bad. I think you'll blow through it pretty quickly. It's good stuff, man.
I liked him in The Boys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He was in The Boys too. Yeah. First two seasons.
Yeah. Well, I thought he appeared in season three, one or two episodes.
Maybe it was one or two. Oh yeah, that's right. Cause that's whenever, he gets booted from the company, has to step down.
Yeah. I think he'll show back up eventually. Actually a little surprised that season four is taking so long. Cause wasn't about this time last year we had season three. It was last May.
I think so.
Yeah. And I don't know. You just made me think about that, bringing it up. But The Mandalorian, man, it's really good stuff, man. You know, I've enjoyed mostly of what Disney has done in the Star Wars era. You know, I know there's a lot of haters out there, a lot of complainers, but I've said this many times before. It's Star Wars. Put it into my veins. I'll take it, you know?
Yes.
It's my favorite franchise of all time, and I will watch mostly almost everything they do. I think the only thing I didn't watch really was Resistance, because it was just that cartoon was just a little too kiddie.
Yeah.
But most of it I really, really like. And now I'm going to get into the second seasons of Bad Batch. Now Mandalorian's over. So, but good stuff, man. We don't have a lot of news to get to before we get to today's feature film. So we'll knock out the news really quickly. We got a teaser trailer. I don't even know if this is going to appear in theaters. I think it's just an internet thing, but they announced the official title of the Godzilla Kong sequel is called Godzilla X Kong instead of versus Kong, the new empire.
Ooh.
What does the empire mean? Is that going to be like empires of the monsters? I don't know. It's weird, but the movie's coming out March 15th next year. We've got a title and a release date and, our other co-host Long, and we know we were making fun of him for Godzilla at the beginning, but I know he's going to be excited for this. Hell, I'm excited for it. I really like Godzilla vs. Kong. It was a lot of fun. And hopefully this one is just as exciting. And as long as it's got some monster action and some kicking ass, I'm there for it.
Oh, yeah. No, my kids love monster movies. I took Jake to go see Godzilla vs. Kong, and I know he's going to want to see this movie too. So that's going to be a good one you can take your older kids to.
Yeah, it'll be good shit, man, I'm sure. And the second bit of news, like I said, not the news this week. James Gunn, it was Superman Day a couple days ago, the 85th anniversary of the Superman being released in comic books. And so James Gunn put out a tweet showing the first page of, or the title page of Superman Legacy, you know, saying that the script and everything is approved and done and pre-production is officially beginning. And they hope to start shooting in January. I mean, if they start shooting in January, that means we'll probably have casting as soon as Comic-Con, I would think, by this summer. You know, you would think they're already, if they're pre-production. I mean, he not just said pre-production, he said costume designs, set designs, they're full speed ahead. So,
wow.
So,
they
I mean,
know pretty much who they have in mind.
Casting could be even before Comic-Con. Yeah. I mean, we could know casting within the next few weeks, possibly. Who knows? So there are a lot of rumors out there about Austin Butler being a front runner for the role and a few others. So we'll see, you know, I honestly could see Austin Butler as a young Clark Kent Superman if they're going that route. I really could. He might have to bulk up a little bit, but, I think he could do it. Kid's a hell of an actor. Yeah.
So. Yeah. Yeah. You've got to have those chops, man.
Yeah.
And you know, Reeves had that issue too. He was a little on the skinny side.
He was tall, though.
But he was tall.
Which helped him. And that's the thing.
Yeah.
Austin Butler's not real tall. But do you have to be tall, though? You know? I mean.
The camera can work and, for you.
And we don't even know if Austin Butler's going to be it. I've just seen rumors that he's one of the front runners for the role. And we'll see where they go with it. I mean, they go a completely different direction. Some we're not even thinking. I was thinking about the other day, and I really don't have anybody that I can really think that I want the role, because I'm still stuck on Henry being in the role. So I'm just going to have to trust the James Gunn and the people at DC to put someone in the role that, will do it well, you know,
yeah,
as long as it's not fucking John Cena.
He's already Peacemaker.
I know. Well, that's my point. James Gunn seems to have a thing about him and him being in his underwear. It's like, no.
That's going to be his brother. His brother is going to be Superman.
So from one DC property to another, today's featured film, as we continue on with our theme month of comic book movies, it just didn't quite work. And we're going to talk 2011's Green Lantern today, which is, you know, the story of Green Lantern is basically they're a police force for the universe, and they are given, you're chosen to be given a ring, and you have a sector that you basically police. And they get their power from the planet Oa, who has a great power of willpower is what Green is. And the Guardians have been guarding the power for years, and they are in charge of the Green Lantern Corps. And they go through training like any other police force and basically fight the bad guys. And Ryan Reynolds plays Hal Jordan. He's the lead. And Hal Jordan has the origin story like any other superhero, where he lost his father at a young age and grew up orphaned. And he's chosen for the ring through Abin Sur, who crashes on Earth, and his ring goes to Hal. And Hal has to learn how to be a Green Lantern. And that's basically the best way to describe it in the without getting too complicated, because the first thing about Green Lantern, the 2011 film, is very similar to the Daredevil film, is it tries to cram a whole bunch of comic books into an hour and 45 minute movie.
Yeah.
Because the story of Parallax should have been told over probably either an epic 3-hour film or a couple of films.
And you can tell they tried to cram so much in here because there's a lot of narration.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the cheap, easy way to try and explain existential plot. Yeah.
But that said, you know, rewatching this film this week, I kind of like the movie somewhat, because you have to kind of just take it as a throwback comic book movie, even though it's only 12 years old, and just take it for what it is.
There's some entertainment factor there.
Yeah. You know, Ryan's fine in the role. Most of the characters are. Skarsgård kind of hams it up as Dr. Hammond a bit. And, you know, Tim Robbins as well as his father. Actually, for the first hour of the film, I kind of like it. The training and the land. Oa looks great. The Guardians look great. I mean,
yeah, good some looking really stuff.
The biggest thing is the whole story of Parallax, how it's a former Guardian that turned into this thing that's mad at the Guardians and wants to destroy Oa. And the Parallax story in the comics is quite different, as Parallax is like an entity that takes over Hal, and Hal almost destroys the Earth, and Kyle Rayner and the other Green Lanterns have to stop him and bring Hal back to life, or not back to life, but back to reality. So they changed a lot of that. And as a Green Lantern fan, that kind of bugged me. I was like, this isn't really Parallax. It's kind of like akin to Galacticus being a cloud in the Fantastic Four movie.
They wanted something similar to Marvel's Iron Man. This was meant to be their Iron Man. And, you know, they wanted to take a lesser known character and jumpstart the universe with him. And Green Lantern is just really complex to try and cram into a movie like that. Just for the points that you pointed out.
And Martin Campbell, who directed this, who directed GoldenEye and Casino Royale, very capable director, pointed that out to the studio. He said, you can't do this movie. Jeff Johns, big-time writer Green Lantern, even said that you can't do this. But they got a lot of pushback from Warner Brothers, who wanted a shorter film. There was a lot of, according to Martin Campbell, there would have been a 2.5-hour cut, which would have explained a lot more stuff. But the studio didn't want it. They didn't even give them the money to finish the film. So a lot of that stuff got cut. Martin Campbell and Ryan Reynolds also do not get along at all. But Martin Campbell has been notoriously known for being pretty difficult to work with.
The studio, wasn't the studio just kind of really, you know, yanking on these guys and trying to, you know, impose what they wanted versus what they felt would have worked?
Yeah, they wanted a CGI movie with a CGI suit. Martin Campbell said that was a bad idea. They wanted to build the suits and make them more typical comic movie suits.
Yeah.
But Warner Bros. Like, no, we want it to be CGI.
And it's like the reason that I feel like it doesn't work very well is because you don't have a sense of one, where this film is going throughout the film. And you don't feel like Hal has really earned the ring in this film.
Right.
Iron Man. He's a fast talking, you know, fly boy, just like Hal. What made Iron Man work? You took everything away. Iron Man had to work his way out of a cave. He had a clear direction of what he wanted to do. He wanted to take down his own weapons. And what happens at the end? He fights the embodiment of those weapons in Obadiah Stane. It's poetic. You have Hal Jordan. He just gets the ring after you know, a dogfight in the air that, you know, just, and, you know, it's for show too. It's just to showcase something. It's not like he's trying to chase his dad's rank, which would have been really cool if they're like, oh, well, you know, this is a chance for you to get to the same level as your father. And then they can go in deeper with that. Maybe make, you know, him chasing his dad's dreams or something like that, the reason why he's, you know, worthy for this ring.
Right.
And, but you don't get that. And you have all these different connections, his brother, his nephew, coworkers.
Taika Waititi playing his friend.
Taika Waititi. Yeah. Playing his friend.
Who looks,
and there's nothing.
God, that dude has aged in 12 years. Let me tell you.
Dude. Yeah.
I was like, wow, he looks really old now compared to just 12 years ago.
Yeah. Looking at him in this movie versus, Free Guy.
Yeah.
But yeah, it just takes, you know, just, there's no effort, I feel in making those connections. And then, you know, he's doing things because other people say to do him. He's going through the training, not because he wants to be the great protector of Earth, because he's told to.
Right.
And then he just leaves the Green Lantern Corps. And then we get a 30-second action scene where he turns the helicopter into a race car.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, Dr. Hammond actually likes Blake Lively, but she likes Reynolds. So we're trying to force that to happen in there.
Yeah.
You know, there's just, you know, too many things that don't really mean anything. And that's, you know, that's what happens when you try and cram too much stuff. You lose that connection. And that's what happened.
I mean, you know, you could have done a Green Lantern origin story, but first off, doing a little more with Abin Sur at the beginning. He just sort of crashes, and you know, there's no relationship with him and Hal, where in most comic book stories, Abin speaks to Hal for a little bit before he passes away. So there's nothing going there. We have no connection to Abin Sur. Again, most origin stories of Green Lantern, you get to kind of meet Abin Sur before he goes to Earth, and it tells you why he's going to Earth and things. And so I just sort of throw that in there. And Hal, again, Hal's kind of a wise ass, which Hal is a wise ass in the comic books too. But in this, it's like almost too much. It's like, it doesn't feel like a guy who deserves what's been given to him. And and you know, you're right, because I've read almost all of Geoff Johns' run, and that's not how Hal is. You know, it's he does come to terms with being a hero, but he is not quite, I don't know what the word I'm looking for, maybe not quite as reluctant as Hal is in this movie. I don't even know if Hal's reluctant, or he just doesn't like really get what he's doing, you know.
Yeah.
He doesn't realize the scope of it. Maybe that's it.
That's probably a good way of putting it.
You know, and then, but I don't feel like Ryan Reynolds mails in the role, even though he didn't really want to do it.
They're trying. Yeah.
Michael Hart Duncan is awesome as a Kilowog, and, you know,
our second Michael Clark Duncan movie.
Right. Tomar Ray is played by, what's his name? Who's great. I like the OA sequences. A lot of stuff's pretty. Mark Strong is great as Sinestro.
I'd like Mark Strong as Sinestro.
Another character that he's probably the closest to his comic book character of any of them, besides Kilowog and Tomar Ray. He's cunning. He's a weasel. You know it, but yet he kind of does care about the Green Lantern Corps until he gets a taste of the fear power with the Yellow Ring. And they have this whole subplot with how they have to beat Parallax because he uses the power of fear, and he creates this weapon with the Yellow Ring. But the Guardians are like, oh, no, we can't do that. We'll just send Hal. Hal's like, oh, yeah, I've got it. No problem.
Yeah.
And then Sinestro does show up to save Hal from going to the sun at the end of the movie. But then the post-credit sequence for the sequel never happened. He's putting on the green Yellow Ring and is like, oh, I'm going to be a bad guy now.
You know?
So they never really gave you a reason to understand. Like in the comics, you understand why Sinestro becomes bad. He's fed up with the Guardians lying to him. He's fed up with them not using the necessary means to stop the bad guys in the universe. So Sinestro's quest for power to do good ends up making him a villain. He's real similar to Killmonger in that way, that his intentions are right, but they're the wrong ways of going about them. You know.
And wasn't he really good friends with Hal?
Yeah, Hal are really good friends in the comics. Yeah,
and you don't even get that sense over here, you know. No. Sinestro's like
a mild respect for each other, but not friends.
Yeah. No, there was some respect at the end,
Right.
But whenever he first comes on, he's like, fucking pathetic.
Yeah, he's just a human. Yeah.
Yeah. Human.
And, and I remember when this came out, man, I was so hyped for it. I was like, because I was a huge Green Lantern fan. I was like, really wanting this to be good. And I saw it in theaters initially, and I didn't hate it. And then I started watching more and realized, okay, yeah, it's really not that great, what it could have been. And to me now, 12 years later, it's still fine. You know, I don't hate the movie that much, you know, but I do understand its flaws. But right now, it's the only Green Lantern movie I have, other than some animated films. And one day, maybe in James Gunn's universe or something, we'll get a really good Green Lantern film. But Green Lantern is a very complicated sci-fi epic. It's if you're going to tell a truly great Green Lantern story, you almost have to do it over like three films, almost a trilogy, to tell a truly great story. Because it is that epic, you know. And maybe one day we'll get that. If I had made this movie, I would not even have Parallax in this movie. I would have had this movie focus on first show who Abensur is before he dies, so you care about his death. I would have had Hal do something a bit heroic at the beginning of the movie instead of crashing a jet, you know, to show that this guy's a hero. Then I would have built up his relationship with Sinestro throughout the movie. And then you can have some plot in here where they have a bad guy or whatever, but then have Sinestro turn on him at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
And that would have made for such a better story. You know?
Keep the connection small.
Yeah.
It worked for Iron Man because he had Happy. He had Pepper Potts and he had Obadiah Stane, and that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. And the reporter he banged, you know,
right.
That's it. And, you have Blake Lively. There you go. She could be in that role. Cause you know, he ended up being with her after this movie.
Right.
And, you know, you have Sinestro, you know, you have the core and then you've got whoever your antagonist is.
Right.
You know, boom.
And, you know, it's a shame. It couldn't have been a better movie. And, you know, we did get the Green Lantern animated series out of this, which ran a couple seasons, and it's actually really good.
Okay.
It's actually a shame it did not get a third season because it was building up to some really cool fucking shit that would have been awesome to see animated. It's on HBO Max if you ever want to watch it. It's really well done, the animated series. So at least we got that out of this. And we did get, I think, as a result of this movie, I think we got Zack Snyder to come in and make Man of Steel and some of the DC movies we did end up getting over the next few years because Green Lantern wasn't the success they wanted to be, so they rebooted again with Man of Steel and moved forward. So I think there was some good things to come out of this, you know. And wait, what year did Man of Steel come out?
Was that 2012? Well, look.
Man of Steel, 2013. So, yeah, a couple years later. So, yeah. But, you know, since their plans to relaunch their universe with Green Lantern did not go through the way they wanted it to.
No.
And, you know, there is an extended cut of this film. But really, the only difference is the sequence with his father is told in whole at the beginning of the film, which the problem with that is when the flashbacks happen later, it's like they're kind of pointless since we already saw at the beginning of the film. So it's kind of a weird extended version to have the whole sequence with his father at the beginning, then you get flashbacks later.
Yeah.
You know, but it is what it is. But, yeah, Green Lantern is definitely a comic movie that did not quite work. Had potential, could have been way better of. Martin Campbell, I think, had been allowed to do his thing and make the movie he wanted and maybe not have studio interference and also maybe got along a little better with Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, you know, so
the movie, I forget who they wanted for the role. I think they wanted someone else for the role.
There were a few different actors, I think. I remember reading a few that were involved at one point or another. And, you know, I mean, I know Tom Cruise was connected for some years there. But Tom Cruise, though, was connected to not just Iron Man, but also Green Lantern, a few comic movies in the late mid-2000s, though, you know? He was connected to a few.
Jared Leto.
See, I don't really see Jared Leto as Green Lantern.
Yeah, me neither.
Nah. Too small, first off.
Jonah Hill. There we go.
Jonah Hill?
No, I'm just messing with you.
Yeah. It's so weird. Tamara Morrison plays Abensur, and he's just a footnote in the film. You know? And he's always good on set, too. And of course, Carol Ferris in the comic books becomes Sapphire, one of the Purple Lanterns, you know, but there's no allusion to that in this movie eventually. But, you know, Nathan Fillion was, of course, a fan favorite for years to play Hal Jordan, but it was never meant to be. He ended up voicing Hal Jordan in a lot of animated stuff.
You know. I like Nathan Fillion. He also did some voice work on the Destiny games.
Yeah. There was also supposed to be a Superman cameo in this at some point, but it was not going to be like cast or anything. It was just going to be like Superman silhouetted in the background, but that never happened. So, you know, a movie, it's just one of those movies that had potential, you know, and unfortunately I was looking, Martin Campbell hasn't had a whole lot of successful films since this movie kind of, he's directed some stuff, but nothing major since then. So it's kind of affected his career too, as being a bit hard to work with.
Pissed off Warner Brothers, man.
Yeah, because he's definitely a good director. I mean, I think he has. I mean, I love Casino Royale. You know, it's good. GoldenEye was good. So, you know, he made something else that I remember liking, but I'd have to look it up. Oh, he made one of the Zorro films, I think. I think he made the first one. Yeah,
dude. Yeah, he should get another shot.
Yeah, I'm sure he will at some point. But yeah, Green Lantern just did not quite work.
Not quite.
It is what it is, as we like to say. And we've got one more movie to finish off the month for our comic movies that don't quite work. And this might be the best of the four, I would think. Because it's another movie that had some studio interference. Brett Ratner directed it, and he was kind of known to be a bit difficult to work with and go over budget. So I think Fox had to step in and say, whoa, you're spending too much money. We got to cut this back. And it's definitely a movie that, even though it has a lot of special effects, it's definitely a movie that feels like it was almost cut at some point. This is the movie you get. And that is X-Men: The Last Stand.
On principle, I can't negotiate with these people. Well, then you know what needs to be done. We're going to protect our citizens.
Make no mistake, my brothers. The humans will draw first blood. And the air is still, and the night has fallen. There's only one question you must answer. Who will you stand with?
A major pharmaceutical company has developed a way to suppress the mutant X gene permanently. They're calling it a cure.
There's nothing to cure. Nothing's wrong with any of us for that matter.
You of all people know how fast the weather can change.
Did you find what you were looking for?
The source of the cure is a mutant.
More powerful than you.
Logan!
Gee,
something woke her. But she has to be controlled.
You know, sometimes when you cage the beast,
I can't do this.
The beast gets angry.
You have no idea. You have no idea what is upon us now.
Fury that this world has never witnessed.
Magneto's got an army out there. You go to war, you might not come home. She might not come home. You ready for that?
We're not kids anymore.
Hey, I'm not your father. If you want to go, be sure it's what you want.
It's time we make our choice. If you're with us, then be with us.
They wish to cure us. And I say we are the cure.
Look at me, G. We can help you. We can fix it. We can make it like it was. Stay with me, please. Come.
You know, they tried to tell the Phoenix story in a weird kind of way. You've got Kelsey Grammer playing the Beast, which is very strange casting, I would think. But, you know, it has
some good like X-Men comic book version of the Beast.
Yeah.
Or X-Men animated series version of the Beast. Sorry. Yeah.
But it, It's been a while since I've seen this, but I remember it's got, at least it's got some good Ian McKellen, Patrick Stewart moments. Hugh Jackman as Wolverine, who's always awesome. So it's got its moments. And we've already discussed the first two X-Men films, so might as well go ahead and do the third one in the series on next week's show.
Yes, sir.
So that's what we'll get to next week, X-Men The Last Stand, before we officially start our countdown towards Compalooza and episode 350 and all the other good stuff we have coming your way in the next few months on the Rebel Radio Podcast. And as always, the RebelRadioPodcast.com for all your Rebel Radio needs. And we thank you, as always, for listening. We do appreciate it. This has been Mark.
This has been Matt.
Remember, as always, just go
there and do it.